are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, Let's get into it. Our first conversation this morning, we're speaking about cultivating an attitude of gratitude and contentment in our families. And we are going to be joined on the line by Pastor Mavuso. So it's easy to want more, right? More money, more success, more stuff, just things. We want more, more. But in families that are rooted in faith, gratitude is more than politeness. It's a mindset that fuels joy. When we intentionally model contentment, even in scarcity, we build homes that aren't just full of things, but full of peace. Gratitude transforms dinner tables, car rides, and even disagreements into moments of worship. And so this is what we want for our families, isn't it? Pastor Mavuso joins us on the line to guide us through this conversation. Why is it even an important thing? Why do we care about being grateful, if we're, especially if we're going through the most? We're going to be answering all those questions. Make sure that you engage with us as well on our WhatsApp line. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Good morning, Pastor. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, ma'am. How are you? And hello to everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. We appreciate having you this morning. I hope you've had a good week.
It has been a good, faithful, hectic week. But we are grateful that we are alive and that we can still have an opportunity to engage in some of real life matters and do our best as far as our thoughts can be concerned, and as far as we can link it to the will of God.
Amen. Amen. Happy to do that. All right. So with that, then, let's get straight into this conversation, Fundis. What habits can help children and adults grow in daily gratitude? What are the things that we can do on a daily basis to help us to be more grateful?
My point of departure, thank you for such a wonderful question, but my point of departure is that there's a saying that says, monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
So it begins with you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
If you have come to a state and in a point where you say, you know what, we need to live a life of gratitude. Instead of you pronouncing it or projecting it out so that all can hear, but if you yourself can live that life of gratitude, someone will stand and say, but there's something different with this one. So the point of departure, it is self. Accept and acknowledge the privileges, the health that is in your body. You are not in an ICU. Your family are not behind the glass hoping that you are going to say something. But the fact that you are alive, the fact that you have got a shelter, the fact that you've got appetite, and the fact that you've got food, that should be your source of gratitude. I love what Paul says to Timothy. Paul, when he charged Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, he says, godliness and contentment is great gain. So we cannot reach a state of being content without Christ. So once we have Christ on our side, these big things that we say they are little, they will start to shine bright, and you will really realize to say, you know, I'm not in a street under a bridge, but I'm under a shelter. I am sound. I'm not saying those who are under the bridge, they are not, but I'm just simply saying, be grateful for that. So that when you see that person, you put yourself in their shoes to say, this could have been me, has it not been for the grace of God.
Amen. Amen. And that's such a beautiful point. Oftentimes we forget and we think, no, me, it's because I went to school, right? I worked hard for this. That's why, you know.
I listened to my parents. Some will tell, I listened to my parents. Whereas it was just it's a gift that you need to also take it to the next person.
Absolutely.
Which is just by mere actions which are coming from the heart. You know, when it is coming from the heart, you don't look at who is seeing or look at who is taking note so that they can put me at a particular realm of status, but you are just doing it because you have been granted the privilege, and you are saying, for me, I choose to do the will of God. I'm grateful. I'm giving space for this person to also have an experience of this kind of joy.
Amen. Amen. Now, how can families practice contentment without sounding dismissive of real needs? Because, you know, sometimes it's almost like we're competing, see who's suffering the most. So we want, I mean, sometimes we want to acknowledge that we're going through something. Maybe the finances are low. I can't make the rent this month. And, you know, there are certain needs. How do we still continue to practice contentment without being delusional about the fact that there are some real problems that we might be facing as a family?
Wow, that's beautiful. It's actually, there are few people who can realize that you are being dismissal. Mm-hmm. But coming to that reality, it's another level of consciousness. But I want to say that a human life, there is the realm of the spirit, there's the realm of material. You see, when you are still want to attain, mm-hmm. you are still living in the world of material, you want to be better than, you want to be recognized than, you see. But I think the best way to do it is to wake up. Okay, another thing, let me make a disclaimer. My default setting is Christ.
Okay.
So my point of departure would say, begin with a word of prayer and say, Lord, thank you. Give me this day and help me to forgive those who have trespassed against me. Then you start your day. So it begins by acknowledging God as the sovereign, keeping life-sustaining God. And then when you face challenges, you say, God, grant me strength. You know, there's a text in the book of Deuteronomy. It is God who gives us a strength to generate wealth. So it's just to say, if it is not supposed to be at that moment, it does not mean it will never be. But you must not cease to try. We must not cease to do our best. And we must always avoid being selfish.
Amen. I love that. And in what
ways? So wake up.
Yes,
Pastor. Make your plan. Yes, I'm saying wake up, make your plan. Don't beat yourself too much if you didn't, but always ask yourself, did I do diligent? You know, there's a law in Pathfinder Ministry. It says, do your honest part. Yeah. Sleep and say, did I do my honest part? The answer you're going to get there, that is the answer that is sufficient for you to face the following day.
Amen. Amen. And what are the ways that consumer culture fights against spiritual contentment at home?
So, we human beings, in the realm where we are, we are in need of things. We want the best house. We want to move to the best school. We always desire more. But the text has said godliness and contentment. I think it is all centered in knowing that there is better things in life other than consumering to satisfy your self desires. You know, if you get that brother on the street and say, hi, how are you? I bought you lunch. You know, you can never buy that smile of gratitude that you can get from that person. There is somebody carrying large groceries, but you say, can I help you? My name is so-and-so. I'm just seeing you struggling. You know, when you assist that person and that person says thank you, the expression and that aid experience that you have given the person, the next time Lomundo loyo, I see somebody carrying lunch, he will remember what has been done to him or her and then offer the hand. Hence, I started by saying it should not be a speech, but it should be action. So in the battle of consumer and let us try by all means to put other people first, then us. There's something better we can experience out of chasing desires that we have.
That's beautiful. And how can shared prayer and reflection foster more thankful hearts in the family?
I don't know how to put this. It has been twisted in our thoughts or in our mind or in our environment to say, if I say, Lord, I thank you for this degree. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you for this car. It's like you are bragging.
Yes.
Now you are really not sure what to do. Whereas in your testimony, somebody may be strengthened. So a spirit of gratitude then opens up to this culture of saying, I do not credit this to my own glory, but I credit this to God, who have given me brains, who have given me time, who have given me resources that I may be able to aid my family from this level to this level, so that I can be a good brother, so that I can be a good parent, so that I can be a good leader, so that I can be a good employee. So it is a matter of saying, let me be grateful. And let me share, so that even the one who is hiding his struggles inside, they can say, but there is hope. He has made it. And in they themselves talking about making it, their common denominator is Christ. Then you have drawn others to Christ. And then the text then becomes true that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself.
Amen.
So we should have this spirit of not giving self glory, but only to say, you know what, from where I stand, as I've said, my default setting is Christ. So from where I stand, I know that I get it all from Christ.
Yeah.
And I don't dismiss the 6 days labor. I need to labor, and then I need to sit down to say, I have done my part. Then I go to rest. Also, so one brother of mine said, we don't go to the Sabbath rest, but we rest as we are going. Then when we get there, we rejoice when we look back for the things, out of the things we have done.
Beautiful. That's powerful. Sure. And then when we look at... I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead.
So it is not about the rest that comes with worshiping, but it is the rest that comes with doing what you are supposed to do at this current moment.
Yes. Sure, that's powerful. I think that's beautiful to think about it that way. It's not just that one day. And that I'm always saying to the listeners, and interestingly, we are heading into the Sabbath right now, that some of the things that we believe in and that we preach about, we kind of look at them from a very shallow perspective. And so the Sabbath is just a day off work. Instead of being something more than that, it's the rest of the week we don't care about it. It's just on the Saturday. What's special is that I'm not going to work, I'm not going to school. That's the special thing about it. And yet it goes so much deeper than that.
It's way deep, because if we do not labor in the 6 days, we are disqualifying ourselves to rest. And in our rest, we are not resting, because it is embedded in the human life that you must labor for 6 days. So it's like you are stealing from yourself even when you are in the rest. You are restless.
Yo. Wow. Imagine stealing from yourself. Any final thoughts, Pastor? Any final words that you can share with us on the subject of gratitude? And maybe if you'd be open enough to share with us maybe something that you yourself are grateful for and why?
Yo, I don't think you would be ready for this one, but it's fine.
Okay.
You know, be grateful for being used for other people's gratitude, their glory. But make sure that wherever space you find yourself in, you do your honest part, even if you know that, but it is eating out from you. But make sure you don't have a hatred, but take it as an opportunity to say, I have been granted this and I've done it as faithful have, even if it is not going to be rewarded, even if the credit will go to somebody else who is just stealing everything, but making sure that he stays on top. So, but that one was for me. So what I can say is that please always make sure that you are grateful for everything, because out there, people are experiencing a lot of things. They are experiencing a lot of injustices.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that you are there, make sure that you become a beacon of hope to somebody who is hopeless. Make sure you become that light to somebody who is in his darkness. It can only, gratitude is a lifestyle. It is not an event. So if you can make it a lifestyle to say, hey, how are you? Yeah, you should thank God you've got an umbrella. It's raining. Be grateful for that jacket. And another thing, the way we most of us fail, you find that I see you wearing a very warm jacket. Instead of saying, well, that jacket is good. You should say, wow, that jacket, it really looks good in you and it makes you warm, and I'm happy that you are feeling warm. Try not to put self into the situation, but make the person to realize that, you know what, you deserve this.
Beautiful.
And the fact that you deserved it, please make sure that you handle it with care, because it is a borrowed space that you have been given. And out of that location where we are, let others find Christ because of your presence. So at times it is, okay, I always say this, it is not about you. Whenever you exist, you have got a bad date, you have got a dead date. So it's about Christ. So when you do it for Christ, then Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm back to the dust, waiting for that trumpet to sound.
That's powerful. It makes me think of Job when he says, I came here naked, I came with nothing, and I'm going to go back into the ground with nothing, just not holding tightly to the things of the world.
We are not defined by material. We are defined by the identity of Christ and the blood of Christ that has cleansed us.
Others say it's easy to say that when you're a wealthy person, it's easy for a rich man to say that money doesn't buy you happiness.
Because I always say, you will say that because you have the money. But in essence, we should use things, not use people for things. But you must use things to lift each other's spreading, to make our lives better, to make somebody else's life better. You know, I always make this argument to say, if I have a car and we are going to care meeting, there is always that brother or that sister or that granny who won't afford to go to care meeting. Take it upon yourself. It is a free space. You can just be inconvenienced for that kind of 3 days, 2 days, to say, you know what, you are going to be my responsibility. I'm going to take you, I'm going to drop you. That act of gratitude, that act of kindness will go beyond. Because at some point, you find that even if I can preach to you, I cannot preach more than taking the person to that location so that he can find the bread himself. I'm not like, I don't give me the slice, but take me to the bakery.
Powerful. And I guess that's what gratitude does then. It becomes a form of evangelism, because in my gratitude, I am pointing people back to the source, not to the blessings themselves, but to the source.
Not to my sustenance, not to my sustenance, but to the source of life, which is Christ. And Christ has created them in his own image. He knows them before they are formed, so he has given them a purpose. So instead of me being selfish, being saying, I've struggled, you know, these people were not there when I was moving up and down, traveling 3 kilometers. My journey is not everyone's journey, but I need to make sure that if I travel 10 kilometers, I make sure that nobody else travel a kilometer by foot when I have a car.
Powerful, beautiful. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. Such a beautiful session that we've had, and beautiful lessons that you've shared, and the perspectives on the importance of gratitude as a family. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Sabbath ahead, and hopefully we can connect again soon.
When it is the will of God, it will always be. Thank you so much, and thank you for the time. Above everything, pray without ceasing, and never forget that you must forgive even the unforgivable, and you must love even those who continuously persecute you.
Amen.
Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. It may be that they do not know. It may be that it is the will of God. But in the midst of everything, make sure that Christ become the subject.
Amen. Powerful. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the viewers.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.